Jervy Tervelon grew up in South Central L.A. He left the neighborhood to go to college, but then he returned to teach high school. His experience teaching is the basis of his new novel, Understand This. He says one reason he wrote the book was to try to show the kinds of choices young people have to make in the inner city, where school competes for their attention with drugs and guns. Tervelon is currently a Hollywood Pictures screenwriting fellow at Disney Studios and teaches fiction writing courses at the University of California at Santa Barbara, where he went to college. In Understand This, the point of view alternates between the teacher and his students. This passage is told from the perspective of one of the brightest students, Margot. The teacher, Michaels, has handed her a stack of photocopies of magazine pictures. One picture shows a woman holding a skinny baby. Another shows young people smoking crack. Margot figures Michaels is trying to tell the class something about AIDS.
Michael seems to think since he's the only young black male teacher at Boat, he's got to do the right thing, save the race and all that yang. Only reason he thinks like that is because he's from the West Side and he didn't go to a school like this. People are stupid because they want to be stupid. Like, how could somebody do it without a rubber? You see, these strawberries walking around with it, skinny as a skeleton, smoked up, dried up, sprung. You know, it's not just from the rock. Lots of fat bass heads. Somebody feeds them. It's got to be AIDS. Michaels ought to teach English instead of preaching.
I think one of the first things you want to do when you're a teacher is to make sure that the classroom is a safe place. Did you think that you had the power when you were teaching to, you know, guarantee your students that they were protected while they were in your class?
I tried to as much as I, you know, could. I mean, as much as possible, I tried to make a environment that was conducive to learning and also to just courtesy. I didn't tolerate students insulting each other or being crude to each other. I, you know, tolerated high spirits, but not, you know, viciousness. Unfortunately, there is a tolerance for violence in our society, and there's a tolerance definitely in our city for behavior that makes it impossible to do complex things like teach Shakespeare or teach a sonnet or read a novel by Toni Morrison, because, you know, some students can be disruptive and it only takes one or two and then the classroom is in chaos.
And if a kid is disruptive, what power do you have to deal with it? Can you send them out of the room? Do they care if they get sent down to the principal? What could you do?
Well, really, a lot of it depends on the school system and the principal and also the teacher. Some teachers, even in spite of what the principals might do, run their classrooms as a tight ship. This is one incident that kind of typifies the kind of frustration one encounters in a classroom. I had a student insult me in front of other students. It was a very large, angry woman and young woman, and she cursed me out. And, you know, I didn't accept it. I took her out of the classroom. I told her, you know, you're not going to get away with this, and you're out of here. So anyway, I sent her down to the dean, and he suspended her. Now, this is almost at the end of the semester, so grades are coming in and everything. I was told, but I didn't want her to admit her. Again, I said, I'm through with her. She's not coming back in my classroom. They told me unless I pressed charges against this young lady, I had to admit her. So either I could send her to jail for threatening me or I, you know, would have to admit her back to my classroom and have her scare the hell out of my students.
Did you have students who you knew were carrying guns to class?
No, I didn't know of that. I felt that the campus I taught at, Locke High School in South Central Los Angeles, was a fairly safe place. My students were respectful of me in general, and I thought were protective of me to some extent. We didn't have that kind of hostility, and I don't think it was even a racial thing. I think some of the teachers I was friends with, some of the white teachers, they felt the same way, that they got along with the students. But the problem is that you have outsiders. You have people that want to get onto campus to do things, to harm the other students or to disrupt things. Our students that aren't particularly interested in being there but show up to disrupt things because, you know, that's what they do. That's their job in life.
Okay, one of the characters says about the teacher in the novel, Michael seems to think that since he's the only young black male teacher at Bolt, he's got to do the right thing, save the race, and all that yang. Do you think people thought that you had that attitude, that you felt like you had this larger mission to save the race?
I think that particular student might have thought that because she, I think, was aware of her position in society, and she didn't really care for it. The Margot character is, you know, is somewhat bitter. I mean, well, she is bitter, and she is angry about her life. And I don't think that she would be much different if she lived on the West Side or she grew up in Pacific Palisades. She's just like an intelligent, self-aware young woman that is just pissed off at the constraints of being a teenager about to become a woman and or an independent woman. So I think her angriness reflects onto Michael's because he has a kind of enthusiasm that she finds to be kind of dangerous to have. You know, if you're enthusiastic in inner city about things, then, you know, you must either be a minister or a fool, you know, because people, you have to watch your butt. You don't know what might happen. You have to maintain a kind of hardness, you know.
You know, speaking of that, I've even noticed that, like, so many of the rappers have this almost sullen look on their faces all the time. I can think of no better example than Snoop Doggy Dogg. I mean, you know, like, there's just never anything that registers on his face. It's just always kind of glum, you know?
Well, you know, actually, I find kind of, you know, I find Snoop Doggy Dogg, his appearance sort of endearing. He reminds me of people I grew up with. And, I don't find him threatening at all.
I'm not saying he's threatening. He looks like a guy that
probably would be very pleasant to have a hot dog with or, you know, a hamburger.
No, but I'm not even saying he's threatening, just that he's kind of like glum. And
well, exactly. He's maintaining that hard face, that exterior. I think to the outsiders, it does, you know, people that didn't grow up in that environment, it looks glum, but, you know, if my mother saw him sitting on the couch, if he were one of my friends with that expression on his face, she would say something to him like, why the hangdog look? Why so glum? Snap out of it, you know? It's just, it's so fake. It's like, it's amusing. At Ice Cube, another rapper that I kind of grew up fairly close to, he perpetually scowls.
So do you think that part of that scowl is a pose that a lot of people have?
Yeah, it's there for the public consumption. And, you know, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, you know, I remember watching John Coltrane and the Miles Davis quartet on some TV show and just how serious they looked. And I realized it was in reaction to how Dizzy Gillespie looked, you know, his kind of zaniness, his craziness. You know, I am nobody's fool is what they were saying. Take me seriously. They, I think, tried to show that they were serious and that they had decorum because they wanted people to pay attention to music. I think that with somebody like Snoop Doggy Dogg that essentially kind of lifted George Clinton's work, The Atomic Dog, Wholesale. I mean, I think what he wants you to do is not pay attention so much to music, because he knows that is going to disappear in a hot, you know, second. He'll be yesterday's news, yesterday's lunch very soon. He wants you to pay attention to him to give legitimacy to his music.
One last question. I'm sure you'd probably like it if some of your former students read your new novel, but I'm wondering if you think many of your former students read much, only because, you know, I hear so much about young people not really reading anymore.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think the reading is just taught so poorly in the schools. I brought in Hemingway short stories. I would bring in a story like Hills Like White Elephants, and I would highlight the man's voice and the woman's voice and hand it to my students and have them act it out. And eventually they'd realize it's about abortion and the situation between a man and a woman, and I would have them write the ending of it. And then I would have them read Up in Michigan, or I'd have them read Rose for Emily by Faulkner. And what I found out was the students would say, this ain't real stories, or, you know, some of the students that were really, you know, not particularly literate, they would say, that's not real, that's not a real story, you made that up. And I would, you know, like, be very flattered that they would think I'd, you know, make these stories up by V.S. Naipaul and Hemingway. They were astonished that the stories were interesting, because what we give them is the Pearl. We give them, you know, Steinbeck's The Pearl, which, you know, I think is fairly insulting to, you know, Latino students anyway. But we give them work that just doesn't have that visceralness that the students want. These students have lived complex lives, and we give them stories like The Scarlet Letter, a novel to read like that. And it's not so relevant to their lives. So I think it's important to read The Scarlet Letter, but I also think it's important to read things that, you know, that are vibrant in their, in what they present in the way of complexity of life, that sort of thing.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Jurvi Tervelon's new novel is called Understand This. This is Fresh Air.